evening, everyone, and welcome to the Derry Township Board of Supervisors meeting. It's our regularly scheduled meeting for Tuesday, November 22nd, 2022. The board met in executive session beginning at 6 p.m. to discuss legal matters, and we adjourned approximately 7 p.m. And so at this time, I'm calling the meeting to order officially, and I would ask that everybody stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, Mr. Christman, would you please take the roll call?
Certainly. Supervisor Zamuda?
Here.
Supervisor Corrado?
Here.
Supervisor Nutt?
Here.
Supervisor Wyckoff?
Here.
And Supervisor Abruzzo?
Here.
There are five present, Mr. Chairman.
All right, that being the case, more than a quorum of the board, we have the entire board present. The next item on the agenda would be our first visitor or public comment session. Prior to opening up that session, I'll just indicate that although it's posted within the meeting room, I'm advising all persons attending this meeting that it is and has been the policy of the township to record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. That's important because anyone coming up to the podium to speak must identify themselves first name, last name, and address so that the meeting minutes are accurate, so that we know when ultimately, years from now, somebody looks back at the transcribed meeting minutes from tonight's meeting, we know who said what. So we ask everybody to do that as a courtesy when they come up during visitor or public comment. We also reserve about 3 minutes for any person wishing to come to the podium. It's not a hard and fast rule, but if we get close to the three-minute mark and you're not finishing up your point, I would sort of gently nudge you on to finish up. And so we do that because in an evening like this evening, and you can see we have an awful lot of items under our new business items that we have to get through. So you're welcome to make your points, but we just ask you to be succinct in making them. So with that, I open up the podium to anybody from the public wishing to come forward. Again, first name, last name, address, and then I'll sort of gently keep track.
Hi, Dave Weaver, 214 Java Avenue. A couple weeks ago, I was here and talked about Project Milton and the need to, in my opinion, for the supervisors and the other agencies involved to be proactive in addressing potential traffic issues related to the project, which I support, by the way, but traffic issues, particularly in the downtown area, village area, where millions and millions of dollars of taxpayer money have been spent to develop a certain atmosphere, a certain vibe, which is not really conducive to truck traffic, commercial traffic. I've read the minutes of the Planning Commission, and I think the word traffic was mentioned one time in those minutes related to the signal timing at University Drive. So it doesn't seem like too much was addressed there, and I'm just reiterating my point from before that I hope it's something that you folks and all the other departments involved are conscious of, and I think hopefully we'll address that issue. Thanks.
Thank you.
George Campbell, 39 Hockenham Road, Hershey, Pennsylvania. I'm looking at old business number 6. Update on the Courtyard of Honor project. Again, I was kind of shocked to see on the police that they gave the impression they endorsed this project focusing on one person. Now, again, I think we need a memorial. But when you take and keep putting one person, quote, in the middle of this thing, and like I say, nothing against the police department. I think, personally, if it was me, I'd put a memorial here at the police station, headquarters. That's where it should go. And for firemen, first responders, put that next to the firehouse. And find another place that you can put the veterans. Now, I got several emails from different people, and one of them brought up a very good point. that all those veterans that died or served were on active duty. They didn't choose to do it. Back then, we were drafted. As far as Michael, he was not volunteering. He was doing a job. So I say, well, why don't we pick out somebody else who died in the tower and put their name there, too? Let's see if anybody was from Hershey or lived in the surrounding area. So again, if they want to go forward with this thing focusing on Michael Horrocks, I think they should find their own spot separate from the men and women who gave their life or dedicated to the service of our country. At the time, he's a veteran. He'd go in that section if he wants his name there. We already have a memorial over to high school. That's the only place he spent time in his town. His parents don't live here. He doesn't live here, obviously. But I'm saying at the time, he moved out of here. So why are we putting all this emphasis on one person focusing on Michael Horrocks when we have 72 people from Swear Station that went and gave the ultimate? They sacrificed their lives. They served their country, even all the way up to Vietnam when they were still drafted. So I think I'd rather see a separate section for veterans away from any other project. And one person even went to say he felt that this was only being done because he's a good friend of somebody on the board. Well, that's not the way it should work. All right, thank you.
All right, thank you, Mr. Gamble. All right, anyone else from the public wishing to come forward? All right, then we'll move on to the next item, which is old business, and this is the update on the Courtyard of Honor project. I'm going to defer to Mr. Christman first, but I have comments to make, so I can either take over or... All right, so we have in the audience tonight a number of folks who have been actively participating in the Courtyard of Honor Foundation, and as many people remember, Mr. Randy McKillop came to a meeting at the township. I got to think of what month it's. Thanks, it's November now. And it seems like the first time, Randy, that you came and made a presentation might have been in the spring, March?
Four or five months ago.
4 or 5 months ago. So the board was collectively enthused by the work of the foundation that Randy is running to raise money for Courtyard of Honor. The township is fully prepared and was prepared and planning to be fully engaged in this project. There were a number of items, a number of things going on at the time that had our focus, but moving forward over the last couple of months, this board has said, that's sort of an oxymoron, moving forward. A couple of months ago, the members of this board came together and decided that we would become more of an active partner. It really is a township project, and to Mr. Gamble's point, the board feels very strongly there should be two memorials, a memorial for first responders and perhaps 9/11, also recognize 9/11 and Michael Horrocks, but also a veterans memorial, a standalone veterans memorial, as we have always held in this township. So we are enthused by the work of the foundation to raise money to put towards these projects. The township will certainly be responsible for the land associated for the with these projects. So these memorials will essentially be on what become township parks. And the township will be not only dedicating the land for this purpose, but will be responsible for maintenance of it moving forward forever. And in addition, to the extent that we are firmly of the belief that the foundation is going to raise all the funds and more needed for these memorials, but the township will provide the funding, any gap funding that exists, the township will provide to make sure these memorials are properly built and maintained. Well, the idea is to have, at this point, rather, I'm not going to go into specifics about the projects, I will say that we're looking at putting them both memorials, really, in essence, they'll be on separate pieces of land, separate parcels of land, but they will essentially be the center of our town. And really, for the veterans' purposes, that's probably no better place for the veterans' memorial than really in the center of our community. So We're working on firming up that location, but at this point, I just thought it was important, our board, to make sure that we formally announce this partnership, although the township will certainly take a lead in the development of these projects and the completion of the projects. We'll be working as a partner with the Foundation of Honor, the Courtyard of Honor Foundation. We are separate entities, so to the extent that there is an organization raising money, they are a private organization, and we're appreciative of their efforts. So I would like to ask Mr. McKillop to come forward, because we've had a number of meetings over the last month and a half, 2 months, and we have many more planned. But Mr. McKillop?
Yes. Randy McKillop, Courtyard of Honor, Inc., 501c3. That was established in February 28th, 2022. In just a short amount of time, the town, the community, board members, and others, volunteers, have raised nearly $100,000. With this now coming forward, that the supervisors and the board of supervisors within Derry Township are backing and supporting this, in what you may want to call a public-private partnership, we are more than excited. We are actually honored. I cannot thank you enough, each and every person here, because it's taken too long. And now the opportunity that there will be another parcel is even better and even more powerful. It's more timely. Well-deserved, and the hard work of everybody the past few weeks and months has paid off. And I cannot thank any of you here any more than I can to say we are going to move forward, we are going to raise the money, and we're going to get this completed. So at this time, I would like to ask the supervisors if you would allow me to bring John Foley up, who is the president of the Penn State Nova Scotia Alumni Association. So, appreciate that.
Mr. Foley, did you create a new foundation?
let me clarify the foundation. So my name is John Foley, good evening. 238 Mine Road in Hershey. My capacity this evening, I am the president of the Milton Hershey School Alumni Association. I'm joined tonight by my colleague, Bob Gert, on our board of directors as well. And we just want to endorse this project, let you know that our committee has been formed. And it's kind of notable in that to represent our Air Force, we have Colonel Chuck Seidel, the Navy, Captain Kimberly Ellenberg, the Army, Colonel Eric Welch, and from the Marine Corps, General Rick Zillmer. Each of these alumnus has committed to this campaign. These alumnus have all been very distinguished within our association. They have been alumnus of the year. Obviously, they're highly decorated military members. We're here to support the 57 Gold Star recipients of the Alumni Association. So we are, in fact, the Gold Star family. So we're here to support it. And we're not just supporting it in the idea of a campaign. Tonight, we're pleased to at least acknowledge we have a $25,000 commitment to this effort. And that's hopefully just the start of what we're doing. So our board is committed to that. We've had the vote. We're really looking forward to hearing about the location, the design, and how this is all going to come together. We look forward to being partners in this with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Foley. So, Mr. Zabuda, Mr. Corrado, you're participating in this initiative with myself, so the three of us sort of liaison it. I don't know. We're working as liaisons to the foundation. The design of these, both the first responder 9/11 memorial and the veterans memorial. Either of you have anything you'd like to say?
I have nothing at this time except to say I'm excited to be part of it.
Yeah, I'd like to echo Mr. Corrado's sentiments. I'm excited to be part of this, too. I'm looking forward to having our veterans honored, as well as our emergency personnel and first responders.
Very good. Yeah, so thank you, Mr. McKill. Thank you, Mr. Foley. There are many people in this community that are very passionate about seeing these projects move forward. None more passionate than this board. We recognize it, and our Veterans Memorial for many years was such a hallowed place in this township. And as everyone knows, who's been to the Memorial Day ceremony there, it's a really stirring tribute to our veterans, our Gold Star families. Happy to have the Milton Hershey alumni, Gold Star representatives there, a part of this. It feels like it's right that we're making this right, and Milton Hershey would be pleased to see all of this happening. So we'll work hard to get it right. That's our pledge. We'll work hard to get it done as quickly as possible. That's also our pledge. And we're excited about having two different projects. So as Mr. Gamble rightly points out, the veterans occupy a very special place in this community, and although it was always intended to be a good thing, this memorial, it really does seem right and just that the Veterans Memorial occupies still its own place singularly in the township, out of respect for those veterans and their families. So anybody have anything else they would like to say on this topic? And we will continue to meet. So there's different groups, there's work streams, there's a veterans group, there's the first responders, 9/11 group. They're on a timeline. We've kind of put together a game plan, a strategy to move forward, and we're going to execute that strategy. So we do expect at a meeting in the not too distant future, we will bring the plans to the public. Here present in the township meeting, we're going to public meeting, and we'll have the groups that help design them here to be able to, you know, when we put them up on the big screen so the public can see what we're going to create with these two memorials, and we want input from the public. But at the end of the day, we'll make sure that we do our very best to make sure this is as transparent as possible to people as we're moving forward. So that's our pledge of the board to the community.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you. So, Mr. McKillop, we would, as a board, I think it makes sense if we all come down right in front here and take a picture with you and your team of the foundation, just absolutely, to sort of memorialize this with a photo. So I'm going to invite our board members down in front here.
Thank you.
thank you, everybody, for indulging us for those few moments. We'll move on to the next item of the on the agenda, which is our consent calendar. So under the consent calendar, we have three items. The first item is the adoption. It's multifaceted because it's the adoption of the Board of Supervisors meeting minutes for our 5:30 p.m. October 24th special meeting. It's the adoption of our Board of Supervisors meeting minutes for the 6 p.m. October 24th public hearing. The adoption of the Board of Supervisors meeting minutes for the 7 p.m. October 24th regular meeting. The adoption of the Board of Supervisors meeting minutes for the 5:30 p.m. November 15th budget hearing. Item B is the approval of the November 8th, 2022 accounts payable in the amount of $1,363,085.70 and payroll in the amount of $323,328.27. And item C is the approval of the November 22nd, 2022 accounts payable of $407,879.93 and payroll in the amount of $320,117.26. Because it's the consent calendar, we can take all items in one motion for approval, or we can do them each separately. That's at the discretion of the board. So I will open it up to the board. Is there a motion?
I'll offer a motion to approve all items on this evening's consent calendar.
All right, motion made by Mrs. Nutt to approve all items A, B, and C under the consent calendar for approval.
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Zanuda. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. The next item is new business. It's number 8 on the agenda. The first item A is the consideration of resolution 2022-21, the appointing of Kratzenberg and Associates Incorporated, a Pennsylvania corporation doing business as Keystone Collections Group, as the current and delinquent local services tax and occupation tax collector, effective January 1st, 2023, in accordance with the adopted tax ordinances, resolutions, rules, and regulations. Mr. Crispin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the board's aware, a few meetings ago, we did appoint Keystone Collections Group to provide tax collection services for Derry Township, specifically for the collection of LST and occupation taxes. The resolution before you this evening formalizes that appointment and would be consistent with the DCED requirements for appointment of a tax collector for Derry Township. So if there aren't any questions, the resolution's in final form, if it's acceptable to the board, I would ask that you make that appointment this evening through the approval of resolution 2022-21.
Thank you, Mr. Crispin. Are there any questions for Mr. Crispin on this item? Hearing none, is there a motion?
I'd like to make a motion to approve resolution number 2022-21, appointment of Tony Katzenberg Associates Incorporated, Pennsylvania Corporation, doing business as Keystone Collections Group, as the current and delinquent local services tax, LST, and occupation tax collector, effective January 1, 2023. In accordance with the adopted tax ordinances, resolutions, rules, and regulations.
All right, motion made by Mr. Zamuda. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Corrado. Is there discussion or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes, and resolution number 2022-21 is approved. The next item is B. It's the request of authorization to advertise two ordinances for levying of a local service tax and occupation tax. Mr. Crispin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will defer to the solicitor in a moment, but just to give you a quick highlight. As we are beginning to transition to Keystone Collections for the purpose of collecting LST and occupation taxes, we're recommending review of our ordinances and amending and recodifying our ordinances with respect to how taxes are levied. So the ordinances in your packet tonight would make it consistent with current law, and it would certainly remove the tax association by reference throughout our ordinances. In essence, what we're asking this evening is to, if you've had an opportunity to review that as part of your packet, you would authorize the administration to advertise these ordinances tonight, and then we'll bring these back before the board following the appropriate advertising, and that would be about your December 6th meeting. but I'll defer to Mr. Armstrong for some substantive changes that he's seen throughout the draft ordinances.
Sure. You currently have an LST tax and an occupation tax on books, and what Keystone is doing is that they're proposing to amend that pretty much entirely. The basic concept and major provisions will stay the same. There are some slight revisions that I just wanted to bring up tonight before we proceed with the ordinance. The LST tax, substantively, it's not significantly different. There are certain provisions that need to be at least addressed in the draft that I can do, and I'll go back with Jason to make sure that the format is appropriate for purposes of the codification and certain references within it. The occupation tax, there are two or three of the proposed revisions that I wanted to bring up to make sure that the board is agreeable to. The one, your current occupation tax ordinance exempts those 19 years of age or older. The proposed revisions would have that change from 18 years of age or older as an exception with respect to the age. There are additional exemptions included in the proposed revision. If you look at the version you have, B, C, and D, persons who move out of the township as of the official occupation tax bill, that's more of a statutory provision. But then persons who are homeowners, retired, active duty military, or a member of the clergy, as well as persons who are disabled with no earned source of income. So those are the revisions with respect to the exemptions that you currently don't have in the written occupation tax. And then the one additional substantive change in the proposed revisions, currently you have for the occupation tax a penalty if it's not paid within the first 4 months of 5%, and if it's not paid within 6 months, 10%. The proposed revision changes that to if it's not paid within the first 4 months, it goes up directly to 10%. I just wanted to make sure before we proceeded with me revising them for purposes of your code of ordinances and proceeding with the advertisement for a public hearing to adopt the ordinance that the board is okay with those specific substantive changes under the occupation.
The only point I would want to make with respect to the penalty phase in the occupation tax is that it is consistent with other taxing entities with the way it's structured. Dairy Township's was different. You know, it created a dual layer. So if you missed one, you get a 5% penalty, and then you missed that one, and you get 10%. That usually doesn't, well, I know it doesn't exist really anywhere else but here. So what they're trying to do is to make this uniform for all, kind of like all the different taxing bodies that they work for. This is how it's consistently levied. So I would say that, you know, just it makes it more consistent. If the board has questions, certainly if you are of the mind that you want to continue the way it always has been, we can certainly work with Keystone to amend that backwards. But
yeah, and like I said, I do have, those are the substantive things I wanted to bring to your attention. There are other changes. I don't know if you looked at the ordinance, and there are certain formatting and certain provisions that need to be corrected or addressed, and I think I can work through those with Keystone between now and next week to make sure that we can get this advertised for a hearing for the board. But those were the substantive provisions that I want to bring to your attention before the board. So assuming the board's okay with those changes, we can move it forward. But I see you might have something to say.
The 18 to 19. So I'm thinking the 18 was probably lots of high schoolers. If you're a senior in high school, you're 18. Once you're 19, you're probably graduated as a mom of an 18-year-old, I would think, and 19 is a little bit more fair, at least when they're out of high school. I'm guessing that's probably why ours is 19 and not 18.
It may have been, I'm not familiar with why the 19 was plugged in there when you initially adopted your application tax. But potentially that could be reasonable.
Does it have to change? Can we keep it the same?
Yeah. It's an exemption. We have to, I'll let Keystone know that that's one provision that you're not necessarily in favor of, if that's the direction the board wants to go with.
Those are high schoolers, probably with part-time jobs.
Yeah, I don't know that any of us were on the board when that decision was made. I don't know when it was made, but under the old adage, if it's not broke, why are we trying to fix it? Like, if it's okay, I don't think we're collecting or foregoing a whole lot of tax revenue based on that I would agree with this is not the probably makes sense it was done to protect high school seniors from having to pay this. And again, I don't know why we, it doesn't seem like it's something we need to change.
Okay, that's, like I said, these have been proposed by Keystone. That's the consensus of the board.
Makes
sense. Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't need a vote, but I just
talk to them and see about that. See, because maybe that does present a problem, but we want to know it. And if it does present a problem, then it's then we don't have to bring it back and talk about it more publicly again. But.
Okay. So what I'll do is when I reach out to Keystone with all the other not such substantive revisions to their drafts, I'll include that and make sure that it's not an issue. That if it's not an issue, you probably won't see this again until you have your hearing adopted. If it is an issue, we'll bring it back to you at your next meeting. The one thing I will say, when you revise and adopt amendments to any tax ordinances, it's a 3-week requirement, I believe, for the advertisement. You've got to advertise it 3 times for 3 successive weeks. So that's another issue. I thought we were going to, we'll see where the meetings fall in December. I'll make sure there's not an issue with respect to the timing of the adoption of the ordinances if it carries over into January. Okay?
Thank you.
Yep, that's all right.
Pat, I do have a quick question. Those changes that they're proposing, are they, could they be considered standard changes across the board with Keystone?
I would think so. I think the intent, for the most part, from Keystone is to try and keep your occupation tax and your LST tax consistent with the majority of the other ones that they do. The LST tax, like I said, there's not many changes in there that I haven't seen. I mean, it's the LST tax is a lot of the times language is taken straight from the statute. Occupation tax is when you see a little difference. I'll be honest with you, I don't know if I've ever seen the 19-year or older exemption before. It's typically always 18, but that's not to say you can't do it. So I think, yes, I think they looked at your ordinances and were like, well, you know, let's try to keep it consistent with all of our...
And that's what I was getting at, are they proposing changes to reflect the rest of the communities and municipalities? So that's what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, some of it is probably cleanup. I mean, the statutes have been revised maybe once since you adopted your rules. Some of it is not. The penalty is not, the exemption I don't think it is, but some of them is, you know, some of it is cleanup since certain amendments to the statute.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, thank you.
All right, well, thank you, Pat. With that, we can entertain a motion.
Okay, I'll make a motion that the township solicitor reviews and is authorized to review and revise the proposed occupation tax and local service tax ordinance amendments provided by Keystone and further authorize the ordinances to be advertised for adoption at the December 6, 2022 Board of Supervisors meeting.
Which meeting?
Board of Supervisors.
What date?
December 6th.
December 6th, 2022.
I would leave it as the next possible meeting that you can hold and advertise this accordingly, because like I said, 3 weeks required advertisement. I don't think we're going to make the December 6th.
And that would be?
It'll be in January.
January 30th.
So it'll be the second meeting in January.
Well, I'll get with Chris and Jason and Keystone.
Is it 24?
As long as you authorize it to be advertised tonight, we'll figure out the best next meeting that we can advertise.
You don't want me to amend my motion?
I would amend it to not be definitive for December 6th, because we're not going to see that.
Okay, I'm amending my motion to remove the date I previously mentioned, and it will be determined at a later date. Possibly January.
All right. Motion made by Mr. Zamuda with those corrections. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Corrado. Any further discussion or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. The next item is item C. It's the consideration of resolution number 2022-22, establishing a fee schedule of planning, zoning, building, and other fees for calendar year 2023. Mr. Crispin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the board's aware, each year, in conjunction with the presentation of our annual operating budget, the administration presents a revised fee schedule that includes modifications that will impact the proposed operating budget for the next fiscal year. Most of our community development fees were increased slightly to keep pace with inflation and be consistent with surrounding municipalities. Additionally, as you'll notice, as part of the packet is Dauphin County TCC Resolution 04-2011, which is incorporated as part of our fee schedule, which now will allow Keystone Collections the ability to levy fees associated with delinquent tax collection services. So that resolution was adopted countywide through the Tax Collection Committee, and it was their recommendation that these fees be incorporated into the township's fee schedule annually so that it's consistent in all avenues where they collect delinquent taxes. So if the board doesn't have any questions, it is in the form tonight that to approve resolution 2022-22 to establish the fee schedule for calendar year 2023.
Questions for Mr. Crispin on the fee schedule or any of the identified fees? Hearing none, is there a motion?
I'll make a motion.
All right, motion made by Mr. Corrado.
I move that the Board of Supervisors approve number 2022-22, establishing a fee schedule of planning, zoning, building, and other fees for calendar year 2023.
Thank you, Mr. Corrado. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Zamuda. Any questions? Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approval, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion is approved unanimously. The next item on the agenda is D. It's the preliminary final land development and stormwater management site plan for Hershey Square proposed outparcel development, plat 1353. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Plat 1353 represents the expansion of the existing Hershey Square Shopping Center. The expansion includes an addition of 7,500 square foot freestanding commercial building and associated improvements to be located along Hershey Park Drive. The site's located in the General Commercial Zoning District and the Hershey Park Drive Route 39 overlay. A portion of the property is also depicted within the 100-year floodplain as determined by a FEMA study for Bullfrog Valley Creek that was done in 2017. The area proposed for development is separated from the main shopping center by a private access road. It also leads to the Comfort Inn. Post-construction, the entire site will contain 872 parking spaces, including 38 compact and 27 accessible spaces, totaling 937 spaces. The Zoning Hearing Board did grant relief to allow a reduction of 234 parking spaces on the site by the way of their February 18th, 2015 decision. As a result, 924 parking spaces are required and 937 parking spaces are provided. The trip generation assessment was submitted with this land development plan. And a little bit better plan. Proposal has the potential to generate 1,626 average weekday trips. Of the total average daily traffic, approximately 117 new trips will enter and exit during the AM peak hour, and approximately 76 trips will enter during the PM peak hour. The applicant did not submit a full traffic study as required by the subdivision and land development ordinance, which is required when more than 100 peak hour trips will occur. The traffic will discharge into the May Street and Hershey Park Drive intersection, which has been identified as a problem intersection and was the subject of the Walton Avenue Corridor Alternative Study in 2014 and also the Greater Hershey Regional Transportation Study. When the center was expanded in 2015. The applicant did provide a $5,000 contribution in lieu of providing a traffic study. Since we have other studies of this area, I believe it's, again, appropriate that the developer would provide a contribution rather than the traffic study. In this case, we've asked the applicant to provide an estimate for what the traffic study would cost, which they did, which was $15,400, and that is what they are willing to contribute in lieu of the study. That cash then would be used towards the physical improvements rather than putting another book on the shelf. The development will add new detention basins to the site to handle additional stormwater runoff and meet NPDES requirements. It's also proposed that there'll be a partial stream restoration associated with this project. Additional impervious coverage on the property will be 50,137 square feet. The site is not presently compliant with the impervious coverage requirement of 60%. However, relief was granted by the Zoning Board in 2021 to allow a little bit more impervious coverage than they're proposing on this addition. The Zoning Hearing Board also granted relief from the requirement for the Hirsch Park Drive Route 39 overlay, which requires a 40-foot wide landscape buffer and a white fence to match the established fencing in the overlay, and the addition of planted trees, partially because of the proximity of the site to the road, the walls, and some of the floodplain areas. There are 11 waivers and one deferment, as noted in my staff comments. If anybody has any specific questions on those, I'm happy to answer them. I am recommending approval of 51353, conditioned upon the following items being satisfactorily addressed: that the applicant reimburse the township for all costs no later than January 6th, 2023, and continues to satisfy the outstanding bills from township professional consultants; that the following items happen by May 22nd, 2023. The applicant provides financial security in the amount of $1,104,817 to guarantee the completion of the proposed improvements depicted on the plan, and agrees to execute the development financial security agreement. The applicant shall provide financial security in the amount of $3,800 to guarantee the evaluation of the traffic signal timing at the intersection of Hirsch Park Drive and Walton Avenue, May Street, after the outparcels are developed and opened. The applicant shall identify the condition of all property markers and monuments. The applicant shall revise a sheet in the plan to remove a waiver that was withdrawn at the planning commission in April. The applicant shall comply with or otherwise satisfy the comments of the township engineers. Review letter dated November 1st, 2022. Also with DTMA's review letter dated November 2nd, 2022. The applicant shall provide a $15,400 traffic contribution in lieu of providing the traffic impact study. The applicant shall evaluate the intersection of Hirsch Park Drive and May Street and the intersection of May Street and Hershey Square's driveways to develop improvements. The applicant shall provide the completed MS4 post-construction stormwater VMP inventory form. They should provide the CDDXF file and the plans. They need to provide two originals of the signed and notarized development financial security agreement, the two originals of the Declaration of Covenants that would allow the township to allow the installation of curbing along Hirsch Park Drive and Route 422 in the future if deemed necessary. They shall provide two executed copies of the stormwater operation and maintenance agreement and access easement, and they shall agree to and execute a property declaration referencing the stormwater O&M agreement and provide a copy to the township. And then finally, the applicant shall comply with all outside agency requirements. They shall record the plan. They shall record the development and financial security agreement or a memorandum, the declaration of covenants for the deferment of the improvements regarding curbing, the stormwater operation and maintenance agreement, the declaration referencing the stormwater operation and maintenance agreement and access easement, all concurrently with the plan. And lastly, the applicant shall submit technical and scientific data to FEMA for a letter of map revision, a LOMAR for within 6 months of the completion of the new construction or other activities that result in the change in the base flood elevation. I'm also recommending that the waivers and permits be granted as outlined in the explanation section of the agenda.
All right, let me just ask you a question.
Okay.
Where is this actually being proposed? I mean, I know where Hershey Square is, but is this on the road as you go up and there's a hotel is on your right?
It's basically down in the hollow. So if I realize that this is a smaller plan, but this is Applebee's, the Verizon, and the Goodyear. This is Chipotle now. Panera is here. The hotel is above this site. So this site is down in the part of the property that looks like a large open field.
And that's not a floodplain? I mean, is that going to be above the road, like street level there, or below the street level, or at street level?
So as I said in my report, in cooperation with DTMA, DTMA has had the Corps of Engineers do a few new flood studies through the township. One of them was for actually named Bullfrog Valley Creek while they were doing the study. It didn't have a name before. So officially in this study, it's called Bullfrog Valley Creek. This area was studied as part of that in a very detailed manner. And what it showed was, in essence, an island that existed outside of the floodplains. Now, they're altering some of that, which the zoning ordinance permits to happen. The floor area of the buildings need to be elevated 18 inches above the floodplain, as well as you'll see this little white area in the corner, that's their transformer. That'll be elevated above the floodplain. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, I mean, when we had Lee Tropical Storm Lee or Hurricane Lee, I mean, I remember there, that whole area was underwater. So I know years ago, we spent a lot of money making stormwater improvements in that area, so to help prevent it from flooding to the extent that it did. If you're telling me that it's okay, Chuck, the only reason I'm saying is, so we're building a structure basically on land there, so you're going to have more displaced water in that area, and it may be the area, maybe the modifications that we made can handle that. I'm not saying that they can't. I just raise it
as
a question.
So the zoning ordinance allows this type of activity. It requires that when you do change a floodplain, that you then update the information. Since this is the study that was done by the Corps of Engineers in 2017, and I believe that's Pizza Hut that's shown. So they will need to get information to FEMA. Here is the study area as we come down into. So this particular series of plans actually represents Tropical Storm Lee. So even in Tropical Storm Lee, you can see that there was a dry island amongst the flooding down there. So in modeling this flood study, the Corps modeled Tropical Storm Lee as being a known elevation to validate the rest of their study to determine the regulatory flood elevation of 100 years. So then the regulatory study looks like this with the cross section. So again, the site is basically in this island. It's outside the 100-year flood study. There's the hotel.
Okay. Natalie, did you have questions?
Chuck, can you just show us how people will get into this area? Do they use that same road that people would go, that they would use to get into the hotel? So you turn off of May and then make the right, like if you're going up towards TJ Maxx and the dance center?
Yep, so this is the intersection of Rich Park Drive and May Street. Mm-hmm. And you're right, you would take the right, and then you would take the immediate right. So this upper road is the one that leads back to the dance center, mm-hmm. which is right here. This is the road that leads down to the hotel. So the hotel road has always been on the property of the Hershey Square Shopping Center through by way of an easement. So yes, that's how that will be accessed, is off of the hotel road.
So people that are coming in to use the new spaces that are being developed, they'll only have that one way in and out. That's not going to connect around in a circle.
No.
Okay. I'm concerned about the traffic, because making a left-hand turn out of, with 1,600 trips, I mean, we know how busy the Starbucks are in Derry Township. People like their coffee here. Having that many vehicles coming in and out of there with one way out, making a left, and then trying to get down onto May Street to make another left?
So one thing that's been discussed, as we all know, as you leave the Weiss markets, you're required to make a left. And that restriction, I'm sure, had nothing to do with traffic and more to do with the neighborhood when Weiss was put there. I don't know if that restriction should be removed today. I'll let Holly talk to that, since you don't like that idea.
Well, that's a neighborhood. I mean, right. Taking people through there. I think people still use that because you can get off of there, go down Lucy,
right.
And then come and but make a left on May Street.
As with so many things, the more you can dilute it, the better it is. So the more you can dilute the traffic, anything that would relieve traffic down here would be good. I personally like to keep my car moving. I will tell you that I will not come, even if I'm at Panera, I will not leave the center here. I will go up to the
Agreed. Yeah, but you have to
pile on top of the pile, right?
But you have to go across a couple of crosswalks with people that are leaving Wise. Yeah. So you're sending more people across, more vehicles across there.
Chuck, at the bottom there, at the edge of the hotel road, are right turns prohibited there?
No.
So in theory, people could leave this new location and go right and go through the neighborhood anyway.
Or up to Goodyear.
Right. Or yes. Leave the Weiss, come down. I know you said you don't do that. Come down to Panera, turn right, and go up and through the neighborhood. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would just say, the point that I think I would just add to Mrs. Nutt's point by saying, coming out of that, going onto that hotel road, from the proposed development and making a left on leaving the proposed development, making a left on that hotel road, I'll call it. And then you get to the end, you get to that other road, right, the main road. Keep going right there. So you've got to make a left-hand turn. That's a really short area. I mean, just again, this is anecdotal, but traffic, depending on when you're there, traffic can stack up this way. And it's hard to make a left, right, at that intersection to go onto May. It's hard to make a left there at times. So I think that I will just make this statement. I mean, if this all comports with the requirements, I won't block it. But I just tend to think, I hope there's no traffic engineers in the room when I say this, because I have great respect for them. But I hear what I see. I see the data that is contained in the reports, and I still don't think it squares with the eye test for people that live in these communities. What we experience is often different than what is stated in the reports. And so, at different times, it may be no problem getting in and out of there. But I'm just going to tell you, at certain times, I was there this weekend, and that shopping square. But depending on the time you're there, it can be really, that traffic on that road is going to back up, and there's no light there, right? So it's just going to back up until people can make a left-hand turn. Most people are making a left there, not a right, to go up the street. So, you know, I don't know what the peak hours will be for those businesses there, but they should be prepared that they could have problems. And if there's any flooding ever in that area, they could be cut off on an island there. So the people that work there and the people that should just understand that it's not without precedent that they could be on an island stuck at that
location. So that is one thing of importance, and it is concentrated in the review. The road in and out of the new center will not flood. The pipes that will be under there will not flood in the 100-year flood. And as you can see, even outside of that, you can still get out and get around.
Chuck, one of the waivers is the traffic impact study.
That's correct.
Is the logic behind that, that it's not going to show? I mean, I'm just curious as to why. Is there a thought process that the traffic impact study won't show any required improvements associated with the traffic from this use?
So the Greater Hershey Regional Transportation Study and the other study that I mentioned show major improvements not only in this area, but as you go back towards Sheets. And the thought is funding those improvements. There is not, the way that the site lays, this is a ramp to 39, 22. We would not get another driveway out to Hershey Park Drive, nor would we want. For them to develop this property, this is what they're left with. The thought was that it makes more sense to try and repair this intersection than to study it and put another book on the shelf.
But $15,000 isn't going to repair that intersection.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Do you have an understanding as to what a traffic impact study would show that would be needed associated with this use of that intersection, if anything?
I do not.
Chuck, have you seen this going to be a 50,000 square foot building?
No.
I don't think that's why I'm asking.
7,500.
Okay. Thank you.
Aside from the traffic impact study, Chuck, I just also, number 9 in the conditions, do we know what that would be? Does anyone have an idea as to what that potential improvements would be at many of the Hershey Square driveways? For the intersection of Hershey Square Drive and Main Street?
I think Holly's prepared to chat about that.
Good evening. Holly Evans, Evans Engineering. I guess first off, I'll ask you to clarify which out of the comments. I don't have a copy of Chuck's comments, so I don't have number 9 in front of me, so I'll have to ask you to please clarify which item it is you're asking about.
It was one of the conditions of a potential approval from the board, and it would be the applicant shall evaluate the intersection at Hershey Park Drive and Main Street and the intersections of Main Street and Hershey Square's driveways no later than May 22nd, 2023 to develop improvements to help reduce congestion.
I believe, Chuck, you're referring to the driveways coming out of the Wise Market Center, out by the Wise Market Center, that statement.
Any intersections with the center in Main Street and the Main Street and Hershey Park Drive. So, yes.
Okay.
This driveway, the upper driveway.
So we'll evaluate all three of all those locations. And I apologize because when we spoke with the Planning Commission, it was discussed about removing the right whether we consider removing the no right turns and evaluating those locations. So I'm asking for clarification, that's all I'm stating right now.
So this comment stemmed from the original review, which was in front of the Planning Commission. So it's ways to relieve any of this congestion. The Planning Commission also identified the concern for traffic backing up, trying to get out on Main Street. And left it as a broad comment to consider ways to improve that. That's what came to you in the staff comments.
Right, that was the staff. That was the one comment that you and I spoke about a couple of days ago.
Yes.
Okay. And you know, we have spoken to a traffic engineer. Basically, during the peak hour trip, there's 143 total trips that come down May Street and turn right out of the center. All right, that is total combined, not only our center, but that also includes the Applebee's, the Verizon, the Goodyear, everything combined that comes down that direction, comes down and turns right out of May Street onto Hershey Park Drive. One of these that was brought to our attention would be a way to alleviate some of that by allowing the turns to make rights up to the residential community up in that area there. And as Chuck said, first off, I'm sure people who live back there right now are already making that turn. But it's possible some are not. If we take that out, it will allow some additional traffic to go right, but not a significant amount. It will help out some, but not a lot. And we're more than happy to look into that further. All right, but I would need more clarification from Chuck exactly what all they want us to take a look at relative to our individual driveways. The traffic that comes out of the Starbucks is mostly going to be a peak. The peak time there is not going to coincide with the peak time to every other developments on the center itself. So a lot of additional traffic you see coming out of Starbucks, let's say in the morning for breakfast or morning getting your coffee, is not going to coincide with the same peak that the rest of the shopping center is going to peak with. That's the AM peak. I'm not talking about the PM. So
anytime I see the Starbucks over at the Hershey Outlets, there's cars stacked all the time.
I agree.
I don't think there is a peak at Starbucks. People are always there.
But I mean, we're not opposed to looking into that further, as a township staff request. But it's not going to change what you have at the intersection coming out. And what we basically spoke with staff about and earlier on was contributing money towards a long-term improvement of the intersection, as opposed to spending the money doing a study that's going to come up with, all right, maybe you can do a minor little thing here, minor little patch there, but it's not going to improve the overall intersection itself. We'd much rather contribute money to the overall township project down the road is going to improve it in the long run.
Chuck, what's the time frame for action on this?
December 6th. Unless the applicant grants an extension, which I'm sure that they would be willing to do.
To answer your earlier question on the building, the building and the pad site, everything sits above the flood elevation. In fact, actually, with the improvements that we're doing, plus the floodplain improvements we're doing, we actually lower the water surface elevation ever so slightly in the area. But our building itself will be set up on our set of retaining walls around, keeping the building, the parking area, and access to that building totally out of the flood area. I mean, along the back parking stalls, you might get a couple inches of water where it's shaded blue in the far back area. But everybody can get in and get out through the center without actually being stuck on an island. And the overall floodplain improvements we are doing as part of our JP permit and our submission to DEP and the Army Corps actually reflects that information.
That's important because I appreciate that. Because we know from having been through that flood, I know what the police department and fire department went through rescuing people at different locations of the township, and I hate to create a spot. Right?
No, and believe me, sir, I did not want to create a spot either. That's why we made sure when we did this design, we could take the spot. The fact that the access road from the hotel reaches the center and nobody would actually be trapped on that area property. They get in, they get out safely. No different than it would today from the hotel or anywhere else in that area. So,
does anyone study like that as you go? I didn't explain it very clearly. When you come out the hotel road and you get up, I'm calling it hotel road, but it's the road that leads to the hotel. From your proposed development, if you make a left out of your development onto that hotel road, and then you go right up to that, right there.
Yep. We are not in a floodplain.
I'm sorry. But you just happened to be the victim of a hearing we were at last night.
Where sure.
Again, I feel like when people show us renderings, the eye test tells me that the distance between where that cursor is right there and May Street is so close that anyone trying to go by, all it takes is like
three cars that come from your proposed development who want to go left there. And if you combine them with any other cars up at that square.
So one of two things will happen. First off, it's all internal stacking. So one thing we want to make sure that it's not stacking on public roads. So if it does stack, we make sure that the way this is laid out, that any kind of stacking is all going to be internal. So it's not like going to a Chick-fil-A where you have people backing up and stacking out on the public streets and everything else. This is going to keep the stacking at least all internally. If I come out on Hotel Road, as you're referring to, and I start seeing it stacking up too much to the left that direction, as Chuck said, yeah, I can make a right. I can go there by the Panera Bread. I can come on around, and I can go on out up top and come down the road straight down. So it does allow me to avoid, it becomes a personal choice. No matter where you're at, if you're driving an internal shopping center, parking lot, driveway, or lane, if you see it stacking up too much one way, you have the option to turn right, go up the hill, into the shopping center, go through the shopping center parking lot, you can go right across in front of the Panera and the Chick-fil-A, or I'm sorry, the Chipotle there, and not even cross the crosswalks at Wise Markets. Go over to the far left, come on down to the parking stalls, and go back out at that point in time and make a left. So there are multiple other avenues now. I'm not going to say that people aren't going to get stacked up here. I've been at Starbucks.
Well, yeah.
I'm not
gonna, you recognize this. It's a tourist community, and so during given there are times of the year where they're in the morning, you can tell folks are coming for youth sporting events, they're coming for Hershey Park, and they're coming to all, like they're going to come to that Starbucks. That's going to be a very popular Starbucks, and we're going to have stacking. You know what's going to happen? People are going to come to this meeting, or they'll send us emails and say, how can you as a board approve plan? Have you ever seen the traffic problems? And so I support what you're doing, but I'm just saying that it just seems like we're walking into a situation where we're going to have traffic problems.
And the concern we have here is that's why we'd rather offer the support to the township to use to put to a much longer-term project there at the intersection. Because we could spend the $15,000 or $16,000, whatever it would be, to do a study. It's going to come back. It's going to tell us that there are certain improvements that could be done. A minor timing change here, minor thing there. But it's not going to fully resolve. It's part of an overall much more systemic issue the township has. But they've already studied. They've already spent money on these studies. So why sit there and throw the money away to just study something that's already been studied 3, 4, 5 times?
That makes sense, but I think that this is Nutt's point. Like, it's the money that you put towards that future improvement. I'm not even actually sure what it would be, because that's a very heavily traveled intersection. And it's been redone over the years. So, and that Chocolate Town Square is also, there's more up there now, bringing people up there, candidly, than in the past. It seems to me to be very successful. Mm-hmm. But that's bringing a lot more people up there, and your proposal will clearly bring more people up there. It's a good proposal. But I guess I'm just wondering, like, how we deal with that traffic. And I don't feel like, I understand what you're saying somewhere down the line, maybe there's a more holistic solution at the intersection. That's possible, but it's not in our plan. Like, I'm not aware of it being like in a 5-year plan for us or a 10-year plan. So I just get worried that you're going to have a lot of internal stacking. But maybe that's okay. Maybe the people that visit the Starbucks, it's mostly the Starbucks customers. I don't think, is it a dental office?
A dental office, Starbucks, and there's a small, like 1,400 square foot small space, a flex space left in between it. You're not going to get heavy traffic out of that. It could be one of the secondary, wireless phone places, or God knows what, something that's going to be fitting in a small little niche area.
Put a Chick-fil-A there.
No, I don't think we did that.
We have the helicopter people out there. Maybe that's what you guys should do.
But I mean, we have no problem working with Chuck and his staff, so we can do internally at those locations. All right? But it's going to be limited. I know that I did the original center back in 1992. And I've done every improvement on that center. And back in 1992, we did that, and we set the driveway that we're showing to the hotel. That was pushing it back then from where it was originally. And back then is whenever it crossed the street at one point in time, the drive that is now in front, is now the back drive to Pizza Hut and McDonald's, used to be the main road that comes out. So all those drives have been progressively over the years pushed further and further away from Hershey Park Drive to basically improve that. So this drive here was provided at that time far enough back to provide extra capacity. We have done extra improvements over the years at the intersection, have provided money towards improvements at the intersection over the years, because there have been things done, additional curbing and other improvements we've done over there over the years, but it's limited to what can be done when you start looking at the whole systemic interchange and all the other growth that goes on in the area.
And there's no way you could take the driveway out of the proposed development can't just go straight across. Right?
No, topographically it just does not work. It just that is why the drive circulates the way it does. In fact, you know, we brought that circulation loop in back in 1992, 93 in the design. It was pushed as far back away from Hershey Park Drive as we could get it and still provide a reasonable grade and slope up off of May Street, up in, and provide a secondary loop road around the center.
Okay. Pat, as this is the first time we're seeing this, is it unreasonable to ask for an extension?
No,
is it something difficult?
Chris, when is the board meeting again?
We meet December 6th, and then that'll be, hopefully, by the end, that'll be it for the year.
Okay.
We can't
so,
do December 24th.
So you meet on December 6th. I think, Chuck, you said actions required by December 6th.
Well,
I don't like
that. We're looking
to cancel that meeting. Oh. And, sir, I'm not asking. I'm just making sure he has the right date. That's all I'm asking. Make sure we...
Would you be, would the applicant be amenable to granting an extension of time for this board to act on this plan, given the fact that it's the first time before this board, as well as the fact there's some significant concerns or questions relating to the traffic and the...
What
plan at this point?
I got a nod from the audience. The answer is yes.
I would like that extension to January 24th.
Okay.
Because of the way the meetings are ringing in. And Pablo, as you know, we always ask for the extension at least one meeting beyond where we would consider to be the last meeting that you might make, just in case there's not a quorum.
What would be the presumed meeting?
So we'd be looking at a meeting of December 6th or January. No, we don't ever January 10th.
Yeah, we don't want to take regular business at the right. Board's reorganization meeting.
Right. So December 6th.
Or what is the second meeting in January?
24th.
It may be that even if it was December 6th, I mean, if you guys could take a look at, I mean, if you hear what my concern is. I think it sounds like other people have that same concern. So I don't think there's a broad array of concerns. I think it's primarily around that issue of the traffic. But maybe there's something else, in addition to what you're doing, you can propose. Maybe there's some traffic mitigation device or signage or something that can give us some comfort level with what you're proposing. And you just happen to be the unlucky, you know, because I think we have this traffic stuff is imprinted on our brain because we're fighting it everywhere in the community.
I understand.
So every time something comes up and we're adding more cars, we go, wait a minute, it's just a continually rippling effect.
Okay.
And I do want to ask them to get up and speak, but just come up to the microphones over here.
I do want to clarify, it's mostly the traffic I'm concerned with. I did hear the concern with the flooding, but... You know, we've done the studies, all the studies have been done, have been submitted, all the applications have been submitted to the Army Corps and to DEP, and the results have been done, taken care of, and everything's reflected, showing that we should be high and dry based upon all the studies that exist for a 100-year flood, based upon, you know, the study that...
And I think you did answer that. I mean, I think you've answered that satisfactorily.
I just want to make sure when I leave here to clarify that I know what answers you're looking for, so I don't walk out here and come back and miss something in the process.
I think that's it. That's traffic is the one.
And just to be clear, someone from Chuck's office will probably circulate a written time extension form. And why don't, if the second meeting in January is January 24th, why don't we just take it to January 30th? I always like to have a little, I don't like to do
I'd like
it
to go to the meeting. I like to go to the meeting after.
Either is fine. I mean, but anticipate that. And you are agreeable to that at time extension?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So expect a written one to come in from either Chuck's office.
And then just one final thing I do want to point out. Included within the staff comments and included within the conditions was another posting of security for $3,800 to reevaluate the timing of the traffic light once the center is up and operating. That was separated from the bonding for the improvements to the site, which were over $1 million, just for the sake of having it available after the center is up and operating.
Right. So just agree to do that as a condition already.
Thank you. Thank you for indulging us. We do appreciate it. These, again, they're all every project, even though it has to stand on its own merits, is locked, it is connected to every other project. And we have tried to, as a board, really taking traffic concerns with the community and elevating them to a high level of all the decisions we make, right? So, and it, you know, we're just dealing with it. It seems like almost at every intersection in the community we have a traffic issue.
Okay.
All right, so do we need a motion to table? All right, so I'll make a motion that we table this item to either December 6th or to the January 24th meeting. Is there a second? Motion seconded by Mr. Zamuda. Any further questions or discussion? All in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? You have none, the ayes have it. Motion passes. Thank you. The next item is E. It's the preliminary final stormwater management and land development for Project Milton, Plat 1362.
It looks like I'm projecting these really small plans because the sites are so large, but this kind of gives you the overall view. This plan was filed by the Hershey Company and represents the further development of the 55-acre tract fronting on Reese Avenue. The site's located in the industrial zoning district. The plan proposes the retention of the Reese plant at the right side of the really small plan that I projected there. The demolition of the former Friendly's restaurant, which is down now, and the construction of a 240,667 square foot manufacturing warehouse facility consisting of 165,057 square feet of manufacturing area and 18,817 square foot of office area and 56,793 square feet of warehouse area, employing up to 240 employees. Access to the site is from Reese Avenue and from a private drive to the west of the site leading to the tech center. The plan proposes three entrances into the new plant. Two of the entrances will primarily serve tractor-trailer use, with the center driveway serving visitors and employees. It's proposed that the initial 100-space parking area will be constructed with pervious pavement. The plan also makes provisions for a future 100-space parking area, also to be constructed with pervious material. The tract is also adjacent to Norfolk Southern rail lines, and the plan proposes a future rail spur. The project will be served by public sewer and water facilities, and it will require the relocation of a DTMA sanitary sewer line. The stormwater for the site... The stormwater for the site will be managed by two separate basins, one basin on each side of the building. The basin on the west side of the building, where I'm moving the cursor, is an area that presently floods or at least retains a large amount of water during storm events. The plan includes providing 3 36-inch pipes that will go under the Norfolk Southern rail line, and also, then there'll be three 45-inch by 29-inch elliptical pipes that go under Hershey Park Drive, Old West Chocolate Avenue, and the farm lane, carrying the drainage behind the Penn State Rehab Center. The stormwater will ultimately end up discharging in the Swidara Creek, and a second stormwater basin on the... that one did go away. The other stormwater facility will be underground below the parking lots in stone beds. The transportation impact study was included with this plan submission. The study shows that the facility at full build-out will have a maximum of 240 employees, generate 87 new trips during the weekday AM peak hour, and 84 new trips during the weekday PM peak hour, for a total average weekday count of 705 trips
consisting of 623 auto and 82 truck. Other than removal of the Friendly's driveway and construction of the three new driveways, the study does not recommend any improvements. There are 9 waivers associated with this plan. Staff and Planning Commission has recommended that each be approved. We are recommending that Plat 1362 be approved, conditioned upon the following waivers being satisfactorily addressed. The applicant shall reimburse the township for all costs incurred in reviewing the plan no later than January 6, 2023, and shall continue to pay all outstanding township professional consulting services. The following items need to happen by May 23, 2023. The applicant shall provide financial security to guarantee the completion of proposed improvements depicted on the plan, and shall agree to execute the development and financial security agreement. The applicant shall provide a draft indemnification agreement for the waiver of putting fencing around the stormwater basin for review and approval by the township solicitor. Upon approval, the applicant shall provide 2 originals of the signed agreement. The applicant shall provide a draft easement agreement for the portions of the 8-foot-wide porous bike path that extends outside the right-of-way of Reese Avenue on both the north and south sides. For review and approval by the solicitor, the easement agreement shall also address the maintenance responsibilities for the previous surface. Upon approval of the agreement, the applicant shall provide 2 originals of the signed easement agreement. The applicant shall comply with or otherwise satisfy all the comments in the HRG letter dated November 16, 2022, the DTMA letter dated November 16, 2022, The applicant shall provide the fee in lieu of installation of approximately 340 linear feet of 5-foot sidewalk for the south side of Reese Avenue. The applicant shall provide an AutoCAD-type file of the final plan. The applicant shall provide 2 originals of the signed and notarized development and financial security agreement, the declaration of covenants, the stormwater operation and maintenance agreement and access easement. The applicant shall agree to and execute the property declaration referencing the stormwater operation and maintenance agreement and access easement. And then finally, the applicant shall comply with all outside agency requirements. They shall record the plan. They shall record the development financial security agreement. Actually, all of the agreements that I've mentioned that are going to be recorded concurrently with the plan. I'm also recommending that the waivers and deferments be granted as outlined in the explanation section of my agenda.
Well, Chuck, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Carter.
I see some comments in the notes from the Planning Commission about the light at West Chocolate and University. Can you just clarify that?
Sure. I'll put that on the record. Vice Chairman Glenn Rowe made a comment separated from the motion that the traffic impact study shows that there will not be an impact to the West Chocolate Avenue and University Drive intersection as a result of the project. However, the traffic signal is currently not operating properly because it does not empty out the entire queue of vehicles. Chairman Rowe suggested that the Board of to the Board of Supervisors that the township should evaluate the signal to determine if it is operating in accordance with the signal plan. Now, I will tell you that I talked to Kenny a little bit earlier today, letting him know that the Hershey Square Shopping Center is posting $3,800 to evaluate the timing of the traffic light post-construction, and that the board may be looking for the same thing from him. And he was amenable to it at the time.
Was Mr. Rowe talking about the queue that he's talking about? Is that on the Friendly side of the street, the queue that's gathering on that side?
No, that one empties. I can tell you there's time of day, because that's where I live now. I use that intersection at times. There's times of day when the queue for Chocolate Avenue doesn't fully empty. There's times of day that the queue for University Drive heading north doesn't entirely empty. There's not been that much activity over on the Reese side, quite frankly. I haven't seen where that's delayed. But certainly this will be changing some of the complexion of the signal, which, do you know what level that intersections, operating that in the traffic study, Craig?
I do.
If we could, I think that signal, that intersection is probably operating very well, even though the queue may not be.
Yeah, its level starts to be in the morning peak and C in the afternoon peak. Okay.
So that would be good if they, so that's good to hear that the Hershey Company will then put that money aside for that purpose, for evaluating that intersection. A concern that I think, I know that Mrs. Nutt and I, we had a call early on when the Hershey Company was first sort of giving us a preview of this project. They met with different members of the board, and so Mrs. Nutt and I were on one particular call. And at that time, we expressed a concern about truck traffic leaving that facility and essentially traveling east and going through, sort of essentially through the downtown to get to wherever it's going. And that remains our number one concern, right? I mean, most of what you can build on that property, you can build by right, and most of the traffic generated in the form of employees is not going to overly burden that intersection or the roadway. But our my concern, Mrs. Nutt's concern that we expressed, and others may have separately, is this issue of trucks going into town, which we desperately want to keep from happening. So how can someone here make us feel better about that?
So Craig Millott is here.
I'll keep walking.
Yeah, that's okay. Before that happens, would you like me to add as a condition that the traffic light be evaluated and the money be posted for that? So then when you're making your motion, if you're assuming you're going to make a motion, that would be included in the staff comments,
okay,
just on the record, before that got forgotten.
I'm glad you did that.
Good evening, members of the board. My name is Greg Rogalski with Pannoni Associates. We're the civil engineer. I brought my traffic engineer along with me so we can yell at him a little bit later. Mr. Millott's in the audience as well. So that message has been heard loud and clear throughout this project in terms of where that truck traffic was going. I can't stand in front of you and indicate to you that we can control where those truck drivers are going to drive. What we can do is indicate to the board that we are going to investigate additional signage to be able to direct those trucks away from that particular area, provide some type of educational campaign essentially to the drivers, you know, of what the best routes are to kind of get out of the facility in terms of not having to traverse that downtown core area, you know, with that exiting traffic. The reality is, and even though, once again, you know, most of this truck traffic is actually going to traverse between the Reese's plant and this plant on Reese Avenue, going to go from one facility to the other. There certainly will be outbound and inbound traffic into that entire area, but that is what we're able to offer, at least at this point, to attempt to control that movement.
So who will, so the truck traffic that would come out, those would not be, those are going to be not Hershey-owned trucks that are distributing product.
Correct. No, the inbound and outbound deliveries are all, you know, common carrier type apparatus. So it's not something, once again, that the Hershey Company controls in terms of what actually, where they're going.
Do you have an idea of the truck volume per day?
I think I'm going to speak, it's 41 and inbound and outbound, so 80 some trucks. And that's at full build out. You know, once again, this facility, as it starts out, is going to be kind of in half mode. As Mr. Emmerich indicated, that parking is kind of cut in half to begin with, and there would be an intent eventually in the future to expand to its full capacity. But when it first starts, it would only be half of what's really contained in the study, as well as the parking, total parking count.
So there's no way to do a, you know, trucks right turn only, but you're advocating an educational campaign or ways to talk to the carriers to prevent them to go down West Chocolate to the square,
correct,
left in front of the land.
Correct, exactly. I mean, I think we all know that that's, you know, not a desirable movement. You know, once again, we run into these same issues no matter where we go, irregardless of what the study says, frankly. You know, at the end of the day, they're gonna make a movement that they think either their GPS is telling them to do it or something else.
Right.
And it's difficult to control, frankly. So in the reality, we're standing here saying, you know, can we control that? We can't. the same time, you know, we can make the energy and effort as a, you know, a large user of the community and obviously a player in the transportation game here to be able to try to mitigate those concerns through that, that educational effort.
I have a quick question, or actually I'm looking for a comment. I was under the impression, I was given the impression that initially truck traffic would be relatively heavy, as indicated by Mr. Malott. But over time, once the railroad spur was put in, that would be reduced significantly. Am I correct in saying that?
Any commutes? Yeah. There is a railroad spur as part of the project, certainly.
It is part of what's shown up.
Yeah, so good evening, everybody. Kenny Heinball with the Hershey Company. You're correct, Rick. And the study doesn't represent that. So as this rail spur comes into play, we'll say within years after we become fully operational, the intent is we're then shifting truck deliveries to rail deliveries. So we will actually continue to see a decrease in truck traffic. Worst case scenario for the study, we assume we weren't using the rail. So yeah, it is our intent that even as we move forward and we grow into this space, we're actually going to have less trucks that we're going to be utilizing the roadways.
Okay, there weren't any projections as to how that might be reduced, right?
No, again, we're still trying to figure that out on our end. Yeah.
I knew that'd be kind of difficult. Yeah. Sorry.
No, it's a good question. But again, that's our hope and that's our intent, is that ultimately over time, we're actually still reducing our truck traffic just because of how we bring raw materials into the port.
Thanks.
And Kenny, these are new employees at this location, right? It's not a shifting of, so these are
brand new, all Hershey employees. This is not to replace any work. This is all brand new. This is to add capacity into our network. So this is a chocolate manufacturing facility.
And I believe you said it's upwards of 100 employees?
Starting out initially, yeah, we're looking at 100. And again, projections, once we do a full build-out, could be up to 200, 250 maybe.
That's great. So how many different common carriers, Kenny, do you guys typically deal with?
That's a great question. We have one main one I think everybody sees with the CR England trucks that are running up and down. We have Crown trucks. But again, we have other vendors that are bringing, you know, raw materials in, and I can't really speak to that, unfortunately.
The only reason I say it is because with your vendors, you have some control. Because being a vendor of a Hershey company, you can require certain conditions of their drivers, their fleet.
Yeah, right? And kind of as Greg mentioned, that's that educational piece that we're hoping that we can push on to our carriers. Again, what we produce here is going to get shipped to the Reese factory next door. It's going to get shipped to West Hershey. It's going to get shipped to, it could be shipped to any of our North American manufacturing facilities. So they're going to be looking for the quickest way out of town, which is going to be any of the major highways and networks. And certainly to that extent, we can say, hey, don't go downtown just to get on 743 because you're going north. We can tell them, you know, right here, here's the light, make the right to get on the Hershey Park Drive, go out to 743 or 881 in that direction. So yeah, that's our intent, is to be able to provide that education of here's the best route and or the route that we would prefer you to take and the city would like you to take so that we can avoid any traffic congestion downtown.
Yeah, I mean, because I don't know that legally we can prevent any traffic from going left on that road. But if we felt that the Hershey Company is strongly inclined to cooperate on this matter, and you know, it could come in the form of a number of different things with your carriers, we could at least address the majority of the traffic that we'd be concerned with. You're right, every once in a while somebody might squirrel out, because you're right, Ken. I mean, once they see the fastest way out is really a right to Hershey Park Drive and then up that route. But then we need to feel comfortable. You guys are also victims of last night's hearing. We need to feel comfortable that if a resident comes to a meeting and starts complaining about increased traffic, or you know, there were three or four tractor trailers lined up at the intersection of Chocolate and Cocoa, that's when we're going to want to know that we can make a phone call and we're going to clamp down on the drivers coming in and out again
because you're going to get new drivers from time to time. And right. Maybe you need signage on the inside of the facility, right at the gate, that says, that directs them, you know, mm-hmm. to go right.
Yeah, and certainly, again, like you mentioned, there's a number of options, I think, that could be considered, both from our perspective of what we do with signage on property in our own fenced-in area, like you mentioned. Two, we've even discussed, okay, what other signage can we put up along Reese Avenue, along 422? Again, that's a PennDOT road, but maybe we go through the exercise of, you know, what potential signage could be there. I know the Hockersville Road and that intersection has been notorious for trucks going down it. I can't say that they're all ours. I'm sure most of them are, but there are others that aren't. But is there signage there that we could put that say no left turns into that neighborhood? And again, I think that takes maybe an ordinance to do something like that, and then also PennDOT approval. And I think we're open to having that discussion of where else can we put signage and how can we make that work to limit that traffic that way then.
Yeah, I think that's very helpful. We want this facility to be built. We're glad the Hershey Company is committed to this community, building it and creating these jobs. We just need to have this partnership on the traffic concern, and it sounds like you guys are willing to do that. So
we could stop at the new Starbucks.
Yeah. Does anybody else have any questions, either for Mr. Heinbaugh and our engineer or Mr. Emmerich?
I just have one quick clarification. Chuck, the list of waivers and permits, the waivers for the road, carway, route widening, and the curbing, there's no fee in lieu with respect to that, just the waiver being suggested. Okay.
So we'll need a motion. If someone is inclined to offer a motion, we need to make a motion. And Chuck, do we need to add that condition about the traffic study?
Considered added to my report.
Okay, so really we're just, again, you're making a motion.
What was the amount? What was the amount, Chuck, for the
traffic? So I also had that conversation. Obviously, the intersection at Hershey Park Drive and May is far more complex than this intersection at University. When the Hershey Square Shopping Center proposed the $3,800, I did have Eric Stump validate that amount. I think if they're willing to give $38, that would cover. Either way, they are agreeing to examine the timing. It's going to cost them whatever it's going to cost them. We're just holding $3,800. I think that's a good amount, in other words.
$3,800. All right, so we can entertain a motion at this time. There will be two motions.
I'll offer the first, that the waivers and deferments are granted from the Subdivision and Land Development Ordinance and Stormwater Management Ordinance as noted in the explanation section of this agenda item for the preliminary final Stormwater Management Land Development Plan for Project Milton Plat 1362.
I'll second.
All right, motion made by Mrs. Nutt, seconded by Mr. Zabuda. Are there any other questions? Comments? The only comment I'll make, Kenny, is we're all on the record, and you committed that the Hershey Company would cooperate with us on the traffic issue.
Absolutely.
With the trucks, right?
Okay. Absolutely.
All right. That being said, all those in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. We also need a second motion. I'll go ahead and make the motion as preliminary final stormwater management and land development for Project Milton Plat 1362 is approved, subject to the compliance with items 1 through 21 in the department head recommendation section of this agenda item. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Corrado. Is there any further discussion or comments? All right, hearing none, all those in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
That before we go to the next item, I had indicated earlier that I have a hard stop tonight now. I'm sorry, so I'm going to have to excuse myself for the remainder of the meeting. I'll turn the meeting over to Mrs. Nutt, and I also wish everyone, sorry that I have to leave, but I wish everyone here on the staff, the board, everyone here from the public, Mr. Gamble specifically, since you're the only member of the public here, happy Thanksgiving to everyone, and have a healthy and happy Thanksgiving, and we'll see you, I will see all of you after the break, okay? So, Mrs. Nutt, thank you.
All right, moving on to the next agenda item. So it looks like the next item on our agenda is item F, which is the consideration of resolution number 22-20, and that is to establish the dates for our meetings for next year. So, Mr. Christman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As the board is aware, each year we establish our meeting dates for the upcoming calendar year. This year will be 2023. In your packet is a compilation of all of those dates for the board and all of our authorities, boards, and commissions as well. It's in the final form this evening, and so if you're inclined to approve resolution 2022-20, that would set our calendar for next year.
Excellent. And these dates have been checked just to make sure there's no religious holidays or election days or anything like that.
We did disseminate that to the staff, and they agreed to their respective committees, and
okay.
We're okay.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay. Any questions or comments? Okay, then this is ready for a motion.
I'll make a motion that the Board of Supervisors approve resolution number 2022-20, establishing meeting dates for the Board of Supervisors for calendar year 2023.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, seconded by Mr. Corrado. Motion made by Supervisor Wyckoff. Is there any additional discussion? Okay. Hearing none, all in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Okay, any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes, and we have the calendar set for 2023. Okay, moving on to item G, consideration of a safety study, request letter to PennDOT to evaluate traffic conditions on Loudermilk and East Dairy. Mr. Christman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As the board's aware, we've received a number of complaints from residents that live at Full Course Estates with respect to traffic issues outside of your development, in particular at the intersection of Loudermilk and East Dairy Roads. As you're aware, this is a PennDOT-controlled intersection, and the township may request that the department conduct a study of the intersection to determine if enhancements to that intersection are warranted. Just so you're aware that if they come back through this study, if the board's so inclined to ask PennDOT to allow that study to occur, any improvements that would go into the intersection would be at the township's expense. It would be on us moving forward to maintain any of those improvements. In your packet tonight are pictures of some of the damage over time that we have people that run that stop sign there at Loudermilk and East Dairy and go actually into Old Course Estates because they think it's a continuation of the road. And they actually run into homes and fences and all kinds of things. So Representative Mahaffey's office has been involved a little bit on the PennDOT side as well. So at this point, if the supervisors are inclined to allow PennDOT to conduct that study, the draft letter is in your packet. You can get that out. They can conduct the study, and then we can discuss any enhancements that might come forward from it at a future meeting for sure.
So, Mr. Christman, the study is done by PennDOT, which means they pay for the study, but then if they have suggestions, then the township pays for those suggestions, should we choose to
implement those.
Okay.
Yes.
Anyone have any questions, concerns? Okay. Hearing no questions or concerns, if there is a motion to move forward.
I'll make a motion that the supervisors authorize the township manager to execute a safety study request letter to PennDOT for the evaluation traffic conditions, Loudermilk Road, State Route 2032, and East Dairy Road, State Route 2012, to determine if the intersection enhancements are warranted.
Thank you, Supervisor Zamuda. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, seconded by Supervisor Corrado. Any additional discussion or comment? Okay, hearing none, all of those in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, the motion passes. Okay, moving on to item H, the authorization to amend the Code of Ordinances of the Township of Derry Chapter 2010, Vehicles and Traffic. Parking of trucks, buses, and certain other vehicles prohibited in certain locations. Chief Warner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Police Department and other township departments have fielded several complaints over the last year or more regarding certain vehicles parking along residential streets in a variety of area of their township. Some of these vehicles are commercial vehicles, including but not limited to truck, tractor, trailer combinations. Some of these vehicles, when parked along the street, remain running and sometimes have refrigeration units that remain running as well. This has created a quality of life issue for the residents in the area. The noise of the running engines can happen at all hours and has disturbed the peace of nearby residents. Exhaust fumes from the running engines have also become an issue, and on at least one occasion were taken in by an HVAC system of a nearby house, setting off the carbon monoxide alarm in the house, and I believe the fire department was asked to respond there for the alarm. These large vehicles have also created sight distance issues for other motorists and pedestrians driving or walking in these areas. This amendment was authorized to be advertised on the October 11th Board of Supervisors meeting. And on October 20th, the advertisement appeared in the Holstown Sun. There will be some cost to post the area. We're talking several roadways, West Arriva, Cherry, Briarcrest, Hillview, Centerview, and Half Street, I believe, are some of the streets that are involved. So there will be some signage that will need to be posted, anywhere between 50 to 100 posted signs to ensure that we have our proper coverage. The solicitors, Mr. Armstrong, is working on some language to put on the signs that will address the situation and we'll be able to enforce those parking regulations.
And Chief Warren, when you say enforce the parking regulations, does that mean a ticket?
Yes.
Okay. Excellent. Is there any questions or concerns for the Chief on this agenda item? Okay, hearing none. If there is a motion to move forward.
I'll make a motion that the authorization to amend the code of ordinances of the Township of Daly, Chapter 210, Vehicles and Traffic, Section 210-40, parking trucks, buses, and certain other vehicles prohibited in certain locations by establishing restrictions on the parking of vehicles other than a passenger car and or light truck at certain locations in the township, hereby be approved.
Okay, thank you, Supervisor Corrado. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, thank you, Supervisor Zamuda. Any additional comments or concerns? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, the item is approved. Okay, it looks like we have a very similar item as our next agenda. The next item on our agenda is very similar, also concerning parking in the township. And I believe this is also Chief Warner.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. This is going to be an authorization to advertise an ordinance amendment. We received a complaint from a township resident about the parking of vehicles along the south side of Spring Hill Drive in the area of 1612 Spring Hill Drive. Concerns were raised that anyone exiting that driveway at 1612 Spring Hill Drive was unable to see around the parked vehicles and unable to safely exit the driveway. It was also a concern that vehicles traveling east on Spring Hill Drive needed to travel in the path of oncoming vehicles due to a right turn curve in the roadway. The curve, in conjunction with the vehicles parked along the south side of Spring Hill Drive, creates a traffic hazard for oncoming westbound traffic, as eastbound vehicles have to travel into the path of those oncoming vehicles to safely navigate the curve of the roadway. The study was completed by the Traffic Safety Unit following the Pennsylvania Code Title 67, Section 212.114, stopping, standing, and parking restrictions, and warrants were met for the establishment of parking restrictions in this area. There will be some signposts that will need to be posted. I think the The total distance of the restriction is 170 feet in total to both sides of that driveway that comes out at 1612. There were some pictures I attached to the documents here. When I viewed them on here, they're a little bit distorted, but you can, from the street view side, you can kind of see the driveway that is shown on both of those is this driveway from 1612. So you can kind of get an idea of the curvature of the roadway on both sides, and also the grading point in both positive and negative, depending on which side you're coming down.
Chief, this is up in Walton Springs Hills, yes?
Yes.
I was under the impression that the majority of the roads, if not all of them in the neighborhood, were no parking. Is that one road to allow parking?
The traffic safety unit looked back. There's no ordinance restricting the parking along these streets. In fact, I think there was a good number of the streets that weren't restricted, but probably meet the requirements. So I don't know. I don't want to check on the spot, but I'm sure there were some things that were looked at when the development was proposed. But I don't think they really planned for a lot of on-street parking, but the restrictions were not put in place.
Like Chuck Sherwood and Brookline, those streets are all no parking. Right. He's put their signs.
He has put me on the hot seat because that was approved like in the 80s or something, like long before I came here.
If I'm not mistaken, right, there are signs on many of those streets where no parking is allowed. I'm just curious why half the neighborhood would say no parking. Is the street wider than the other ones? I'm just curious.
Yeah, this may sound silly, but once they're built, I look at Tom. He spends more time
with your streets. I see you driving around the neighborhood all the time. Am I not mistaken, Tom? Most of them are marked no parking, but I guess some of the streets, they do allow parking.
I can tell you that there are no parking areas up there, but the parking areas have expanded because signs have disappeared over the years.
Oh.
So maybe this is a
bigger
issue for the whole neighborhood and not just here. This is where there's been complaints.
There's been places where we've had problems getting snow plows through. And the guys that do those routes know that 12 years ago there was no parking sign.
Interesting. And I know a lot of the landscape crews.
The traffic safety unit went back and there were no
in that area.
Restrictions or ordinances placed for no parking.
Got it.
Is it something, Chuck, that we could consider in the future to put this in writing for that entire development? Because Supervisor Wyckoff is right. Some of those streets, like people shouldn't be parking on them. You can't get around them. You couldn't get around the parked car.
There's very likely things on the plans, in all fairness. And also, there's probably some clear sight lines which would restrict parking as well. I'll go over the plans. Try and summarize what the original thoughts were there.
Okay, so in the meantime, we should move ahead with this and make sure that
Let's
fix one. start with one. Okay. All right, is there any other questions or comments?
I have one other question. And Chief, are landscaping crews exempt from these no parking rules? Because I do see them throughout the neighborhood. Sometimes they'll park directly in front of the no parking sign, right in the middle of the curb. I'm just curious if that is it. Is it in stone, or do some people receive an exemption?
It would be a case-by-case basis. If they're conducting business, I think the officers would probably give them some latitude for a period of time. You know, obviously, if they're parking the vehicles there for an extended period of time or overnight or something like that, then it would be a little bit different story.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay. There are no additional comments or questions. This is open for a motion.
I actually do have a question or a comment. Should we consider tabling this until we do get a definitive statement from these guys, whether there should be or shouldn't be any parking in that area? I mean, it seems like we're just putting a Band-Aid on this right now.
Chief said they've already looked, right? You...
Yeah, the traffic safety officer did look back there's no ordinance in place. To your comment, Supervisor Zambuda, I think if we do look at an overall project as far as restricting more areas for no parking, that would be fine. I think right now you're dealing with a safety issue for the resident.
We can put that to it, right, Jeff? We can do this and then add to it. It's not putting anything in jeopardy.
Okay, I can agree with that then. So can we... We can agree with this, with the proviso that you look into this and see if this whole area, this whole Spring Hill Drive area, should it be posted as no parking.
I'll look back.
Or restricted parking.
I'll look back at the plans of record and see what was supposed
to be. Yeah, because that concerned me. Tom says a lot of those signs have been removed. By who? Okay,
it wasn't me.
It's rhetorical, and it wasn't me either.
Okay, so we'll move forward with this item to help with this current issue and then look at additional options at some point relatively soon. Okay, is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to authorize the advertisement of an ordinance amending the code of the Township of Derry, Ordinance Number 553, Chapter 210, Section 210-38, parking prohibited at all times in certain locations by establishing the south side of Spring Hill Drive from the convergence of the two single lanes to a two-lane roadway to a point 170 feet east as a no-parking zone.
Okay, thank you, Supervisor Wyckoff. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right, thank you, Supervisor Zambuda. Any additional comments or concerns? Okay, hearing none, all in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Okay. Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, you're fine. Before you go any further, I just wanted the minutes to reflect. The agenda item before this past one where you adopted the ordinance. I don't know if the ordinance number was specifically identified. So for the record, I believe the ordinance number is ordinance number 2022-04. I know the way the motion was framed, adopting the ordinance was specifically amending the code of ordinances at the ordinance support, but I believe the number being assigned to the ordinance is ordinance 2022-04. I just confirmed that is the next ordinance for the township. And include that in the minutes. That's all.
Motion states 553.
That's the...
So it's the entire motion?
Yeah. If that's the number, ordinance number 5. Okay, you're saying the agenda.
Yeah.
Ordinance number 553. I'm not sure I got 2022-04.
Yeah, no, the nomenclature for the ordinance has changed 3 years ago. They now go by year and number versus a continuation,
correct? It's 2022-04.
Okay. Just let the minutes reflect that the ordinance that was adopted this evening associated with the amendment to the code of ordinances of the Township of Derry, Chapter 2010-40, was ordinance 2022-04. Sorry.
All right, the next item on our agenda is approval of surplus property from the police department. So Lieutenant Roche is here to talk to us about this.
Thank you, Madam Chair. June 28th, the Board of Supervisors approved the sale of 5 vehicles from the police department fleet in addition to some other equipment. We have subsequently executed the sale of 4 of those 5 vehicles in the past few months. As recent as November, we placed the 5th vehicle out of service, and we subsequently advertised it on a public auction site, lasting 10 days from November 8th and ending on November 18th, and requesting the board's approval to award the sale to the highest bidder for the 2006 Chevrolet Impala sedan for $2,751 to Wolf Transportation out of Marlborough, Massachusetts.
Excellent. Okay. So is this as simple as we just offer a motion to accept the two bids on the vehicles and move forward with them? Okay. Then I'll offer a motion that this Board of Supervisors accepts the bids from Wolf Transportation Group. And
that's it.
Okay. That we accept the bid. Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Seconded by Supervisor Corrado. Is there any additional comments or concerns? Okay, hearing none, all in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, Motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lieutenant Roche. Okay. I'm just going to try to get back to my spot on my iPad, which is kind of glitchy now. Oh, thank you. Okay, so the next item on our agenda is the request for the Hershey New Year's Eve Celebration Committee to hold the New Year's Eve Celebration in the Town Square on December 31st, 2022. Chief Warner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This agenda item is coming to you because request to place state roadways must be approved by the Board of Supervisors. The main state road affected by this event is State Route 422 or Chaplin Avenue from Homestead Road to Hockersville Road. It will also affect State Route 743, which will include Park Avenue and Cocoa Avenue, from Hershey Park Drive to Route 322 or Governor Road. Size and magnitude of this event, as everybody knows, will involve other state roadways for detours, Route 322 and Route 39. If the board approves the event, PennDOT will be contacted for permitted approval. This event should last approximately 16 hours in total. There's some partial shutdowns that happened earlier. The main shutdown happening around say around 7 or 8 o'clock. There's a stage setup time and then cleanup after the event ends, where the roadways will still be shut down for the safety of people cleaning up. Will involve a yet to be determined amount of overtime for the police department and public works department. Scheduling adjustments for police may be made to assist from our and may be made in assistance from our entity partners used to reduce the budget impact for this event. I'm not sure what year we're on for this event, but it's been pretty well run. Officer Kaufman is running this event this year, and he's done it the last couple years. We expect it to be a little bit different this year, but pretty much the same. I think some of the pyrotechnics and so forth are going to be a little bit different this year from what I've heard. So with the board's approval for this, then we will seek the PennDOT permit, obtain the appropriate insurance for the permit, which would then identify the township as well as PennDOT, and go from there.
Okay. Thank you, Chief. Are there any questions or concerns from the board members? Okay, hearing none, I'll offer a motion that the board authorize the New Year's Eve celebration in the square of Hershey on December 31st, 2022 into January 1st, 2023 with the associated road closures as mentioned by Chief Warner. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Supervisor Corrado. Is there any additional comments or concerns? Okay, hearing none. All in favor, please vote aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, the motion passes and the event for New Year's Eve is approved. Okay, the next item on our agenda is the acceptance of financial security for stormwater management and erosion and sediment pollution control plan for 41 Clark Road. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you. This project entailed the a pool in additions to the patio, driveway, and dwelling. HRG reviewed the cost estimate and recommended that an amount of $9,040 be provided. The applicants have provided that in the form of cash and have entered into this township standard agreement. I'm recommending that the Board of Supervisors accept the cash and enter into the standard agreement with Jonathan A. Zuck and Kimberly S. Zuck for Stormwater Management Plan S-2022-027.
Thank you, Mr. Emmerich. Are there any comments or concerns about this? Okay. It's open for a motion if someone would like to make one.
I'll make a motion that the Board of Supervisors accepts cash financial security in the amount of $9,040 and enters into the agreement to provide financial security between Jonathan A. Zuck and Kimberly S. Zuck and the Township
for the Stormwater Management and Erosion and Sediment Pollution Control Plan, 41 Clark Road, S2022-027.
Okay. Thank you, Supervisor Wyckoff. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, seconded by Supervisor Corrado. Is there any additional comment or concern? Okay, hearing none. All in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, hearing none. Motion passes. Okay, the next item is also acceptance of financial security. Mr. Emmerich, if you wouldn't mind explaining this agenda item.
Sure. Sure. This one is the West Hershey plant. It's for the trailer storage lot. HRG reviewed the cost estimate for, which is across the street, right? Hershey reviewed the cost estimate prepared by the Hershey Company's engineer and recommends financial security in the amount of $2,791,302 be provided, which they have provided in the form of a bond, and they've entered into the township standard agreement to provide financial security. I'm recommending that the supervisors accept the financial security in the amount of $2,791,302 in the form of Travelers Casualty Insurance Company of America bond number 10771045 and enters into the agreement with the Hershey Company for Stormwater Management Plan S2022-021.
Thank you, Mr. Beck. Thank you, Mr. Merrick. Are there any comments or concerns? Okay, hearing none, I will offer a motion that the Board of Supervisors accepts financial security in the amount of $2,791,302 in the form of a Traveler Casualty Insurance Company of America bond number 10771045 and enters into the agreement to provide financial security with the Hershey Company for the stormwater management site plan for West Hershey Plant Trailer Storage Lot 1033 Old West Chocolate Avenue, S2022-021. Is there a second?
All second.
Seconded by Supervisor Zamuda. Is there any additional comment or concern? Okay, hearing none, all in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, the motion passes. Okay, that concludes our business for this evening's meeting. So we'll move on to Supervisor Board and Committee reports, and I will start off at the left with Supervisor Zamuda.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The only report that I have is that we had an ad hoc staff transportation discussion this morning. Other than normal business, we discussed the New Year's celebration and church road issues that are going on. That's all I have.
Thank you, Supervisor Zamuda. Supervisor Corrado.
I have a DTMA update. We had a board meeting yesterday. The budget was approved to include a 2% rate increase for 2023. The stormwater fund budget will be presented to the authority at the December meeting, and the Bullfrog Valley and Deer Run stream restoration construction is anticipated to start on Monday the 28th. And then DTN also continues to provide weekly updates on the construction projects through the township's emails.
Excellent. Do we know when the Bullfrog Valley construction is finished?
Finished.
Yeah, when that will be finished. Do they know? It looks fantastic.
I did not have an answer. Carter, did you hear that at all yesterday?
No, we'll find out.
Okay. Sorry, engineer. Matt, do you know by any chance?
Yeah, the majority of it will be done by the end of December.
Okay.
And then they'll be back in the spring to do seeding and buttoning up. But they're moving along very well right now.
Yeah, it looks great. And it's much appreciated for those that use the trail that it's at least open during the weekends. Is it almost to a point where it will be open all of the time?
We'll coordinate that with the contractor because I don't know okay. what they'll do with their equipment. You know, we always look at safety before we want to open it up.
Got it. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Banana.
Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Corrado. Supervisor Wyckoff.
I have no report this evening. Thank you.
Okay. And I'll just offer that Supervisor Abruzzo and I were both at our library board meeting and Ms. Troutman, although I'm thinking that I am not calling you by your appropriate name now, so I am sorry. had some really exciting news and projects, which I'm sure she will update everybody on when we get to her report. And Supervisor Zamuda offered the transportation group report, so thank you. I have nothing further to report out for Township Manager. Do we have anything additional to say, Mr. Christman? Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I'm getting way ahead of myself. Yeah, I apologize. Let's start with the police department. Chief Warner, do you have anything additional this evening?
I have nothing further, thank you.
Okay. Mr. Sassman.
All right, I'll try to be quick here. Just wanted to give you a couple updates because October, as I believe mentioned earlier, was very busy, so I got our numbers. 24 days worth of fire prevention, so that was almost once a day we were somewhere in the township providing fire prevention to the schools and so forth. That number rounds out to about 1,800 students. We did four days of standby at Antique Auto. For the month, we had 83 calls. And we also flew our drone. We have a new drone, which I've got to get you all to see, but it has thermal imaging, and the other day we were up for a brush fire and a wire down, and we were able to fly that and be able to locate the hot spots, make it a lot easier for us to work around that, the brush. So that was very nice. And overall, we had 489 man hours of training.
Fantastic. Thank you to you and the crew at the fire department.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Clark?
Were it not for a three-day work week this week, we would be back on schedule with leaves, and I think we're over the hump now, and it should be good from here to December 9th.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing the literal mountains of leaves that you are moving. Okay, and the library. And Allison, what is it? Can you tell us what? I should have glasses on, and I can't read your new last name. Your
it
hasn't
changed. It hasn't changed.
It hasn't changed.
Only just
okay.
changed it recently, so it's Jacobine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Congratulations again.
Thank you. As of Monday, the Hershey Public Library now offers book lockers where library users can pick up holds 24/7. More information is available on our website if you're interested, but if you place your holds kind of by 4:30 tomorrow, you should be able to pick them up on Thanksgiving if you wanted to. I'm sure everyone wants to pick up books on Thanksgiving, but you know, there you go. And then the library is going to close at 5 p.m. on Wednesday, November 23rd, and will be closed on November 24th, so staff can enjoy time with their families, but we will be open on regular hours on Friday, November 25th. And we have a big announcement coming on December 6th. We're putting together information on that to be ready. So, yeah.
Excellent. Thank you. Mr. Jackson.
Thank you. Just want to let you know our winter newsletter will be released tomorrow. So we've got a lot of great new programming options. So just invite everyone to check that out. We will also be closed on Thursday to observe the Thanksgiving holiday, and we'll resume normal hours on Friday.
And I saw the information about the Santa swim. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
That's a new way to bring Santa into the community center.
We like to put our spin on that.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Bonanno, anything from engineering?
Nothing tonight. Thank you.
Okay. Anything additional tonight, Mr. Armour? Okay. Excellent. And now, since I forgot the Mr. Christman, anything additional this evening?
Nothing additional. Just want to wish the board and the staff and Mr. Gamble here tonight a very happy Thanksgiving on Thursday, so thank you. We will be closed on Thursday and Friday.
All right, that brings us to our last option for visitor or public comment. So, Mr. Gamble, if you'd like to come up.
Richard Gamble, 39. I just want to give a rebuttal to the earlier presentation by the committee. I'm very thankful to see that Chris got involved and kind of organized it a little bit better. But the thing that I want to clarify, when I said everybody deserves to be recognized, for example, when John came up and said that the Alumni Association would donate, but they have memorial over at Founders Hall. And if I was a member, if I was a graduating student of that school, I would want to go there and recognize my classmates. I don't see anybody from the Hershey Alumni Association that travel distances coming down next to the fire station and look for their name, their classmate's name or something. So again, recognition of memorials are a very important part of any community. the community of the Hershey School. I consider them members of our community. I would encourage that they would consider coming to the Veterans Spot in downtown Hershey. But the fact is that that's a world-renowned school, and they went to all that trouble to produce their own memorial. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's quite impressive. And I know they hold their own memorial services at the school every year. As far as the police go, the hero I know is Officer Henry. He gave his life for his duty to his community. The members of that in our community, the children, grandchildren, people like that of yesteryear, gave and sacrificed their lives, and now you were recognized in Sudara Station, and now they have another monument from the Italian Lodge. Okay. That's something that the people of the community dedicate themselves to be there. And every year, for 60-some years now, they've been holding this ceremony. As far as the idea, and I just looked it up again, that they're advertising, we'll call it public relations, and you know, bringing the cameras and bringing all the big wigs, right? Only for the purpose of generating money. And I pulled up a website, and I'll read. So I'll show you. That's his picture. You know, painting, I assume. But it started out initially a very small upper hand corner, police, fire, whatever. And then you went down through, and it said a court of honor for Michael Korok. So they changed it, so you got the police on top, emergency, I assume the medical. Courtyard of Honor mission. Courtyard is honor, aims to memorize citizens of Derry Township who have served in the military during periods of armed conflict first. First responders who have guarded our safety and security at home, and to honor September 11, 2001, First Officer of United Flight 175, Michael Horrocks. Well, I'd rather see Officer Henry's name there. Again, I emphasize, I researched this. There's a memorial at the towers. His name is there. There's a memorial at the high school where he went to high school for 4 years. Right. There's also a memorial at the airport he flew out of. How many memorials do we want to give this guy? I mean, I think it's a great idea we do it. I'm not against it. But like I say, I think there's a time and place that if you want to recognize him for the, quote, 9/11, then we ought to add the other 2,980 people that died. It wasn't just his thing. Again, one of the people that texted me and a couple other people talking to me about it are saying that he was not on active duty. He was not serving his government. He was working at a job that you and I go out to. We could be killed tomorrow. We'd qualify for one of the memorials. If we were a veteran, we'd go to the veterans memorial. If we're a fireman, we should go to the fire. If we're a police. And like I say, I know there's a lot of police stations that have memorial boards dedicated to the officers who served. And I think when I suggested, wouldn't it be nice to have one near the police station so that people could go and see it, just like they go to Mount Hershey School to see it, just like they hold the memorial every September for Mike at the high school. I mean, I think we're getting a little carried away when it says, and check it. Yeah, and it's... Yeah, this is the part that got me. And to honor September 11, 2001, and First Officer of United Flight 175. That's not a memorial. You know, we're playing Hollywood here. You bring in the cameras, and I look back here, where's everybody's of interest here? I mean, you want to come in here and get yourself on TV, then they even say, check out Channel 27. That's not the way it should be done. So I appreciate the township, the supervisors, taking a hand in this. And Rick, thank you for getting the web page changed, but you still didn't take the message off. You know, I'll write a next. Maybe I should write a to honor Rick for being a supervisor. Okay, Rick? We're friends.
Yeah.
Again, you changed the thing, but you didn't change the message.
Thank you, Mr. Gamble. Seeing that there is no one else in our audience this evening, someone would like to make an offer of adjournment, and we'll wish everybody a very happy Thanksgiving.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right, all in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
All right. The meeting is adjourned. Happy Thanksgiving. We're being